today I want to continue on talking about who we are as the church. And so looking at what church is biblically, what we're called to be, and some of the things that we're not called to be, but we sometimes have got that in our heads. Unfortunately, I feel like, and I said this weeks and weeks ago, months ago, that I feel like there's a cult of Sunday morning. What I mean by that is there's a bunch of people around the world who have their faith in a religious system that's based upon, I go to church on Sunday morning. And as long as I follow the rules of going to church on Sunday morning, then that's where they put their faith and their trust. Are you a Christian? I go to church on Sunday morning. And their faith is in the system that we've set up and not in Jesus. And that's why I say it's a cult. It's something that looks like Christianity. It takes things from the truth, but then it's put its faith actually in the wrong place. So first off, to say church is not just a Sunday morning meeting. It's not just what you're in right now. So that's one thing to watch for. But the first thing I'd say, church is not a show in various formats. Church is not like a fashion show. In a fashion show, this is what happens. You go, you sit there, and the people in the front who are walking up and down try to look really good. Or they try to show you what the new fashion is. What's the new cool thing going on? That's not what church is here for. Just so you know, I'm not here to show you what cool style is, if you didn't already realize this. So we're not here to show off. We're also not here to give what's the newest trend. And I see that so often in these things that we call churches that, oh, well, everyone's going towards orthodoxy, so we'll go after that. Ooh, the trend now is charismatic things. Ooh, we go towards that. Ooh, the trend now is 40 days of purpose. We go to this. Ooh, the trend is the prayer of Jabez. Ooh, let's go to this. And so many times we are running around chasing whatever is a trend. And I'm not saying that any of those things are specifically good or bad. I'm not trying to push that. Just that I see that so often, that we get caught on what is the coolest trend at the time. And we get caught on trying to make sure that we look good. People come on a Sunday and they have a big smile and everything looks good. Well, the Apostle Paul wrote to a group of Christians in the city of Corinth, and he wrote this. He was talking to them saying, you guys think you have it all together. Already you have all you want. Already you've become rich. You've begun to reign, and that without us. We are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. To this very hour, we go hungry and thirsty. We're in rags, we're brutally treated, we're homeless. We work hard with our hands. When we're persecuted, we endure it. When we're slandered, we answer kindly. We have become the scum of the earth, the garbage of the world. Does Paul seem like he's trying to impress anyone at the moment? How many of you have ever walked around saying, hi, I'm scum of the earth? It's not a good way to introduce yourself. But he's saying, be careful that you don't let your faith be something that's about getting everything you want. There's so many times I hear this kind of super spiritual way of talking where people are like, oh, everything's great. I'm blessed. I have everything I could ever need. Everything's going good for me right now, brother. I got health. I have this. I have that. And if it's true, I'm not saying don't say it. But many times I've seen people hide immaturity behind this kind of, we're so rich and we're already reigning with Jesus and we have everything that we could need. We're so strong. And it's true. We've been given everything we could need in Jesus. But Paul says, if you're just trying to put on a show, you guys look better than we do. But when we're persecuted, which those who follow Jesus very often will be, we bless others. We go through this. He said in another place that it's kind of like they put off a smell. That to people who are being saved, he says, we're the aroma of Christ. And to those that are being saved, it's a good smell and people like being around it. But for those people who want to reject Jesus, they go, wow, you stink. Because it's the, I don't want to hear what you have to say. I don't like you. And no matter how good you make the gospel sound, they don't want it. And Paul wrote at the end, I'm not writing this to shame you, but to warn you. Warn you as dear children. He cared about them. He said, imitate me. Don't just put on a show. Don't just try to make your Christianity look like something where everything is happy and joyful and I'm fighting with my wife before I get to church, but when we step in, we sure got a smile on. Everything's great today. You don't have to put on a show. Nor, honestly, are we trying to put on a show for you where you sit there. I feel like Sunday morning has become people's like favorite TV show some days. I have friends back in the States who they love to watch Friends, and so it's like every Wednesday night, 7:30, I'm sitting watching Friends, or every Thursday, I'm watching 24, or Lost, or whatever is a... I mean, these are all from years ago. I have no idea what are cool TV shows right now. You can tell how lame I am. But whatever that is, and people have this. Every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, I tune in at the same station. I sit in my seat, I watch the TV show, I laugh, I cry, there's some good music, and I get up and I go home, and I look forward to next Sunday when I'll sit down and watch the same TV show. But isn't that true that people treat it that way sometimes? That it's just, I'm there so I can sit, watch, enjoy it, let it touch me in some way, give me a laugh, and then I go home. And during the week, it's not really a part of real life. The church was meant to be part of real life. So to impress is not our primary goal. Second, I would say what church is not, is church is not a business. It's not, first and foremost, a money-making thing. In 2 Corinthians 2:17, Paul was writing again to these people in Corinth and said, we don't peddle the word of God for profit. He's saying, we don't make a lot of money off of this. On the contrary, in Christ we speak with sincerity. For those of you who heard a bit of my testimony a few weeks ago, I didn't come here because it was a good job decision for me. I'm not a pastor because it's financially the best thing I could do. And that's kind of what Paul was saying. We're not here because this is the greatest thing for our money. It doesn't look great on our CV. You don't normally walk into a lot of businesses and say, hi, I was a pastor. Would you like to take me on? We're not here as a business because this is the best financial decision, but we're also not here to provide for consumers. And that's, I think, the thing that happens a lot in churches where people come and they just consume. It's, oh, I'm going to church today and I need to get a little prayer. So I go into the shop and I take prayer off the shelf. I get that. I'd like a little peace. That'd be good. Don't worry about that self-control. The kids don't like it. Love is great. I'll take some of this. And then you go to the counter and you've got your prayer, your peace, and your love, and that's what you get walking out of the store. It's about what can I come and what can I get. Jesus doesn't make church this pick what you want kind of mentality. In Luke chapter 9, he gathers people around him. He says, if anyone wants to come after me, he's got to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So if someone walks up to Jesus, so what do I get out of this? Well, you get denying yourself. You get carrying a cross. You get following me. It's not about what you can get. Church is not about making consumers of, oh, let's see if I can get what I want. Because he says, whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake, he'll find it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, to get what they want? And sometimes we think, well, I'm not greedy, I'm not trying to get the whole world. But think of it this way. What good is it for a man to get everything that he thought he wanted, to have enough, but lose his soul? What good is it to say, well, I don't want everything in the store, but I just wanted my 3 or 4 things, and that's all I needed, but you still forfeit your soul because you're not truly following Jesus? To produce is not our primary goal as a church, to make something so that you can get what you want. Trust me, I'm not here as a waiter in a restaurant that comes up to you and says, well, today our main menu will be a sermon on the Holy Spirit that comes with a side of Old Testament prophecy, and then after your main meal, you get to have a long time of prayer. Oh, you don't like that? Well, then we also have the love of God that comes with two jokes. It comes with a nice long story about my personal life that'll make you cry. And then and then to kind of top it off, another joke. Does that sound better to you? We're not like, here's your menu. Pick what you'd like to have today. And that's not what Christianity is. Here's your menu. Pick which part of the gospel you would like to have today. He calls us to all of it. The third thing is, church is not a library. Now, this week I went to the theological library in Laufen with Yuka. He took me along and said, hey, I'd love to show you this library. When we first got there, there's the librarian lady, and she's this librarian lady. You show up, she's like, do you have a card? Here, you need to get a card, sir, before you can step into it. I feel like I can't even look into the library until I have a card. Here, get your card, sir. You have to pay this amount for your card. Okay, sign this. You have to fill this out. Okay, okay, now you have your card. You can walk in. We're not done yet. So she walks with us into the library. The first thing we do, you have to sign in here with this man. And here's a sheet that has the rules inside of the library. I haven't even seen a book. I don't know that books exist in this library, but I do know that rules exist. So I have this card, and I have this set of rules that says, if I bring in food, that's €5 fine. If I bring in drinks, that's a €10 fine. If I use the computer for anything other than reading a book, then that's a €10 fine. And if you do it the second time, it doubles. The third time, it triples. That's really what was on the sheet of rules just to get into the library. I'm like, okay, fine. I'll take the sheet of rules. I'll read the rules as we're walking in. We walk in, I finally see there are books in this library. And there are people studying. And Yuka is speaking to me, trying to point out things of, okay, over there is this, over here is that. And I can see the students who are studiously studying. And they're looking at, and they hear someone speaking. How could you be talking in a library? And so Yuka's just talking, but I see them looking at us like, they're not going to run off and say, €5 fine, but that's probably in their head. Read the rules first. Libraries, so much of what happens is you walk in, you be quiet, you follow the rules, you learn something, and then you leave alone. You walk in alone, you leave alone, you study quietly in between. That's not what church is. That's not what we're called to be. Is you walk in alone, you do your thing, you follow the rules, you turn off your phone so it doesn't ring during the service, and then you walk out just having been informed. Jesus speaks against this kind of mentality of, I'm here just to get information. And he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do anything I tell you to do? You may know what you're supposed to do. You may have all of the words, but why are you doing that? He said, I'll tell you what someone is like who hears my words and puts them into practice. He's like a man who built his house on a rock, and the wind, the waves, the storms, everything came against it, but his house stood firm. And as I was reading this, it reminded me that there's another time where Jesus speaks about a house and a rock and lots of storms happening. And that's when he says, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell won't even be able to stand against it. Maybe there's a connection that this idea of church is built on a rock and that we're supposed to build our lives on a rock. And the thing that's the common denominator is that means you hear what you're told and you obey it. That's what he's saying. That's what it's like. And the man who hears my words and doesn't put them into practice, that's like building your house on sand. It doesn't last long. I lived on a Caribbean island for a few years. I've seen some houses that were not built in a good way, in a good place, didn't have a solid foundation, and they're washed off. Not only does Jesus tell us to do this, his brother James said, don't merely listen to the word. Don't merely get your information for the day. Do what it says, or else you're deceiving yourself. So many people in church, they're lying to themselves. Flat out. People lie to themselves, and then they are believing the lies they are telling themselves, that they can just hear his word, but then don't put it into practice. He says what real religion is, that's taking care of people, the orphans, the widows. the interesting thing, even about those people, he didn't just say, take care of old people and young people, but even their identity is found in the fact that these are people who are missing family. An orphan has no parents. The widow has lost her husband. And he says, there are people who are missing family. Go take care of those people. Those that have no family, bring them into a family. And that's what the church is. The first thing is, church is a family. So, quick recap of the first things that it's not a show, it's not a business, it's not a library. Jesus didn't tell us to go into the world and make fashionistas. He didn't tell us to go into the world and make consumers. He didn't tell us to go into the world and make highly educated people. He told us to go make disciples. So church is a family. In Matthew chapter 12, some people have come up to Jesus and they said, oh, your mom and your brothers are here. And Jesus points at his disciples and says, these people, here are my mother and my brothers. The one who does the will of my Father in heaven, that's my brother, my sister, my mother. Jesus says, my family are the people who are doing what God says. In Galatians, we're told that we are God's sons. And since we're his sons, God sent his spirit of his son into our hearts that calls out Abba. The closest thing we have in English is daddy. Calls out Abba, daddy, father. So you're no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has also made you an heir. We're made into a family. I was listening to a talk of someone else earlier this week, and he said, you know what the difference is between a restaurant and a family? Is that in a restaurant, everything is done for you. You go in, you sit down, they bring you the menu, you order, they make your food, they bring that to you, you eat, and if you don't like the food, then you can write a complaint. He said, try doing that in a family. Go up to your dad and say, Dad, I would like a complaint card because I didn't like the food Mom made tonight. Dad's going to give you something, but probably not a complaint card. But he said, a family, it's a set the table. If you want something, go to the fridge and get it for yourself. You are here to help out. A family includes serving each other. And so if someone walk up to me and say, I don't really feel like this is a family, I think the first thing you should do, start serving. Because that's when it'll start to feel much more like family. When I went to Kenya this summer, nine of some of my favorite people in this church, we were serving others. We were serving the poor. We were talking with people. We were sharing life together. And then at the end of it, I was talking with some of the people, and one of the people, I was speaking with Carmen Smank. And I said, well, I don't know, what have you learned? What have you felt like in this time? And she said, kind of before now, I didn't really feel like family with a lot of people, but I really feel like this is family. Maybe you've had that where your church didn't feel like family, your family didn't feel like a family, your friend group, and you're like, I've never really felt family. A start to that is start serving. Get involved, because as we serve together, as we have a goal, that will start it. The second thing that church is church is the body. The body of Jesus. Romans 12, we're told, just as each one of us has a body with many members, and all those members, they don't have the same function, but they come together, they make one body. The same is true of Jesus and his church, that we're all many members, but we're all one body. He says the same thing in Colossians 1:18, that Jesus is the head of the body, the church. That's what we are. How many of you can type blindly? That you don't have to look at the keyboard, you can just whiz away and you can type everything. We got some of you? Okay. That's the easy one, because people are able to talk about. Now, the other one. How many of you, you're one-finger typers? You got like F, W, Q. Oh, wait, no. R. Who do you think types faster? Jonathan types faster. 2 hands. See, there's a difference when everything is working together and when everything has to be figured out one by one. Huh? See, we are all a body. And so if we as a church are working together, we're like those people who every finger can get to it. And if one finger decides, I don't feel like typing today, then I'm going to have a big problem with the F, the R, the T, the V, and the B. And so every word is going to be missing those because one part isn't helping out, but the rest are doing their job. In this church, I pray that this church would not be one-finger typers. Get that? Where it's not, well, there's Matthew, there's Steve, and they're figuring out where to type as they go. Because that's not going to get us where we need to be the fastest. That's not going to get the message out the fastest. We are called to type a message. And if all we keep doing as a church is making sure that these two people are doing their job, then the message is not getting to where it needs to be as well as it can. But if we're all typing together, it's like those people who are like, ding, 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 and the message comes out very quickly. We as the church, we're given a message. We must all work together to do it. So if you want to feel like a body, start connecting. Start going in the same direction. If my arm's going this way, the rest of my body's going that way, it's not working out too well. But when all of it's running forward, it is. Things like these connect groups, we are serious. They are awesome. And we want you to be involved. Some of the best times I'm getting to have, and Christine as well, my wife, is we just say we love being in our connect group because we're bonding together. Seeing some of these things like the baptism that's happening, the guys in his small group are just as much a part of that, that they see together. We are family. We're together. Start connecting with people. Stop putting it off. The third thing that church is that church is the bride of Jesus. In Ephesians, he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, to present her to himself as a radiant church. Jesus is making that picture that we are like this bride to him, that we're together. So what do you do as a bride? Well, I've never been a bride before, I admit. I was never the blushing bride, but I was the blushing groom. You admire the person that you love. You think about them. You keep thinking about them. You cherish their words. I have on my computer just a Word text file where various emails that Christine has sent me throughout the last years, I go, ooh, that's a really good one, but I have no room on my phone or else I can't receive any incoming text messages. So I've taken the words that she typed, tried to even put the smiley faces and everything, into this Word file just to keep it. So that it's fun for me to sometimes look back at them and read them. I mean, back in the day, people would do that with emails where they'd keep the emails. Even further back, it was, oh, we have these like love letters that they scented with perfume. I'm glad people don't set their like phones with perfume because that would make them break. But, I mean, we had those where we cherished the words of the people that we loved. That's why these power verses, please cherish them. I'm not even saying, oh, you need to memorize them to memorize them. Please find his word to be that special to you. That you want that to be something that you remember, that you look at regularly. As a bride, we're also supposed to take care of the one that we love. Christine does so many things for me. And what Jesus said is that whatever you've done for the least of these, whatever you've done for the poor, whatever you've done for your brothers and sisters, it's like you did it for me. So if you want to take care of your husband, Jesus, take care of each other. There are a whole bunch of people who honestly have been ignoring their husband and need to learn how to start showing some care for their husband, Jesus. Because we, as the church, we are the bride of Christ. So our primary roles include things like, as a family, love, community, being together. As this picture of a body, it's growth and maturity. A body grows. That's just what a healthy one does. And as a bride, it's love, it's care, it's service. These things are part of our primary roles. It doesn't mean that we can't learn anything from businesses or libraries or from whatever else. I'm not saying those are evil places, just so you know. But that's not our primary goal, to produce or to inform or to entertain or to impress. That's not what I'm here for. We're here to love, to grow, to care, to serve.